Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We're coming to you live from the Rock and Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rock and Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line on CBS Sports Radio, brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. All you have to do is switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So, you know the deal. Minshew, two TDs. Jags win it. Tonight, 20-7 over the Titans in a great game for him and the Jags for sure. And I thought, you know, it's weird. Westbrook had some big catches in that game, but he also had a gigantic touchdown drop. So I don't know whether to love him or hate him, but they won the game. That's all that matters. Fournette played well. Minshew played fantastic. I thought Shark and O'Shaughnessy came up big for him. But it really was the Minshew show, and he's becoming very popular down there. And the question is now with the Titans, they're already asking it. Will Tannehill play next week against the Falcons? Because Mariota just keeps going backwards. I mean, he's just been terrible. And tell me if you disagree with that. 855-212-4227. I hit the Jags tonight on the money line and the spread. Double cover. You got to love it. And then college football, you know what happened. Tulane with a stunning late touchdown to beat Houston. 38-31 in Tulane at Tulane Stadium, where three Super Bowls have been played back in the day, that small stadium down there in New Orleans. But there you go, a huge touchdown by Jalen McCleskey. He broke free of three tacklers and raced into the end zone for the winning score. So fabulous job by him. 855-212-4227. Chris, in Fort Lauderdale, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell. I'm a Jets fan here. Right. So laughably, I see the line of the Patriots Jets at 22.5. Should I stay away from it or take the Jets?
Well, listen, I got to tell you, I just think it's too dangerous. I'm not a fan of ever. Like, I barely wanted to lay the 18 with the, you know, last week, and I did. And, you know, the Pats got it done. But believe me, I was never comfortable, you know, at the beginning of that game, thinking, all right, I'm down, you know, 18 zip. They have no room for error. The Patriots really, in my view, I mean, I guess they had a little bit of wiggle room because of who they are. But I think most teams, frankly, don't have that wiggle room. And I got to tell you, I have a problem laying 22.5 in a divisional game. I got to tell you, like, you know, the Patriots always beat the Jets and Bills and things like this and Dolphins, right? But I mean, they really have always struggled in Miami. This is the first time I've seen them look good in Miami, Carver High, in years. I mean, they have stumbled down there a million times. Brady never plays well in that 95-degree weather and humidity. He hasn't. And then this was the first time they showed him up. And it's been long overdue because they're way better than the Dolphins, right? But when you're playing in a divisional game, like, you know, some of the best games I've ever seen have been those Patriot-Jet games. Mafia, you know it's true. I mean, I know you got problems. But I'll tell you one thing. This Gase guy's got to wise the Pharrell up because he's like, they're fining Adams, the league, and then he's benching him. And this Johnson guy they've benched, These are high-priced guys. I think that, you know, frankly, they need to get out there and play him and stop with all this, you know, childish games that he's playing with these players. And they, you know, they got enough problems with Quinnen Williams out, Darnold out, Simeon out, and you're going Luke Falk. They got enough problems going into this game. So a lot of people are going to say, well, they got a ton of injuries. There's no way they cover that 22.5. But you know as well as I do that it's a divisional game, and the Jets and Patriots always have decent games.
They did for a long time, but, I mean, recent history has not been good for the Jets at all. I mean, of the last five games, only one of them has been within a touchdown. That was back in 2017, the second game, or the first game they played them, it was 24-17. But, I mean, Christmas Eve 2016, 41-3, 26-6, you know, New Year's Eve 2017, the day before New Year's Eve last year, 38-3, 27-13. Like, they just...
So you're giving your team no chance.
No, I'm not, especially with the third-string quarterback. I don't care if Falk had the whole week to prepare and they're going to do the offense around him and all these other things they're going to tell you to try to make you think that they have a chance. They don't.
So the game's over and they shouldn't even play it.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see about that. So, and what do you think? You said you're laying both those, the 21.5 and the 22.5, no problem.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable about the Cowboy one. I just do. I just feel more comfortable because the Dolphins.
I'm fair enough with that.
The Dolphins are, they're awful. I mean, I think that number each week is just going to get a little higher and a little higher until they prove otherwise. You know, it was where it was week one with the Ravens, went up a little bit last week.
So if they went up to 25 in a game, you're not going to take the 25?
I mean, I think that if they get, you know, if the Cowboys cover that again this week and they cover to 22, you got to push it further, don't you? You got to keep pushing it until they finally cover.
I think it depends on who they play.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they were playing the Jets in week four, the line's not going to be 22. But if they play another decent team, that's part of it.
So you think they both get smoked?
I think they both cover. I want them both to cover. I'm going to play them both.
But you said last night, didn't you?
I told you
the
other night,
you
know what's going to happen. It's going to split. One or the other is going to – somebody. One of the two is going to cover. You just know it's going to happen. I feel more comfortable with the Cowboys covering it than the Patriots, which is crazy to think, but just the divisional part of it.
Right.
And all the, but that didn't matter last week when they played the Dolphins. That didn't make a difference.
Never mind. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Mark in Louisiana.
Scotty, what's happening?
Hey, bro.
Yeah, listen, I want to know who's going to win straight up between the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. And also, real quick, where is Jalen Ramsey going to land?
I have no idea. Like, you know, according to ESPN, he's going to go to every single team in the league. The Chick reporter tonight said they're talking to every single team in the league. I don't think for one minute anyone knows where he's going. I thought, what were we saying last night? The Raiders, he wants to play for the Raiders or Titans.
Yeah, but I don't think that's neither. They're not going to trade him in the division of the Titans, so you could throw that away automatically. And I don't think the Raiders are in. I think that a team that knows that they can win this
the
year
Chiefs.
Is going to be willing to put up the big stuff. The Chiefs.
Eagles.
Teams like that. Teams that think that
wouldn't
they can win
like
the Super Bowl
wouldn't he be like a Dawkins playing in Philly?
I think, Philly would be a great spot for him.
Yeah, I have no idea where he's going to go. And I think that game's going to be a great game at Arrowhead. And, as far as who's going to win the game straight up, I think the Chiefs. 855-212-4227. Matt in Phoenix.
You guys have a good night.
Hey.
I don't know if you can even hear me, but.
I hear you.
Okay. Amen. I'm having a great night, and we're going to continue good stuff. This sport I'm learning a little bit about day by day. You guys have a great night.
Right.
I just want to share with you. Appreciate your show.
All right, thanks a lot, brother. I appreciate you, Matt. I think he's what that means in Portuguese is he's winning bets. Jalen McCleskey had the most unbelievable touchdown catch tonight to win that game down on Bourbon Street at Tulane Stadium. Just an incredible play. I mean, I couldn't even believe what I was watching as he broke free of three tacklers that had him. He caught the pass, and these guys all ran up on him and popped him, but none of them tackled him. They just hit him, and then he just spun free and went hizzy. And then that was it. He won the game. 3 seconds left. It was just a phenomenal, really back-to-back plays. The fake play and then the McCleskey catch. Jalen joins us from down at Tulane. Hey, hell of a performance by you. Great touchdown. Way to go, dude.
Thank you. Thank you.
What did you think when you, when you spun after they popped you, because you know they hit you, and then you popped around and you saw Hizzy, you had to freak because no one was standing there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Justin put the ball on the money. He hit me right in the chest, and I knew I was probably going to get hit, so I was just trying to make sure that I secured the ball, made sure we got the yards, and then they missed the tackles, and I saw nothing but open field in the end zone, and I just put the burners on, and I knew I had to get out.
What a senior moment for you in your, I'm guessing, last year there, right? I mean, you're a Covington, Louisiana kid, and you just came up huge tonight. You had 4 catches for 120 yards. Didn't a quarterback only complete 7 passes the whole game?
I don't know. I didn't see the stats yet, so I'm not sure what
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. He was 7 of 20, but all of it went to you. You were the man tonight, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, how do you win a football game when a guy, you're down, 28-7, and your quarterback completes 7 passes the entire game? How do you win that game?
Man, that's just, defense came up big. You know, they made a bunch of plays. They got key stops in that second half. And then, you know, when it was time to get down to it, you know, the offense made plays. The O-line did great in blocking. You know, our running game got started in the second half. You know, Darius, Corey, Amari, they all ran hard. And then it was just the offense executing and the defense making stops. And I never lost faith in our defense that they wouldn't make the stop at the end of the game.
You know, Darius Bradwell had 113 yards. He was huge. He was averaging around 6 a pop. I thought, and Justin McMillan had 91 yards. Even Dauphine had 71. Everyone that ran the ball for you guys produced.
Oh, yeah. You know, we the O-line did a great job of giving them holes. And then once they got to the second level, you know, those guys do a great job of making people miss and getting extra yards. And, you know, we just take it at – As receivers, we just take pride in blocking downfield, trying to help them spring a big run.
I thought Lawrence Graham had a huge game, too, on the other side of the ball for you guys. He was stopping everybody.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence always, you know, he works hard. He's always in the film room, you know, at practice, our whole defense. You know, even when we were down in that first half, I came up to everybody in the locker room on defense and was like, man, we got y'all. We're going to start making plays. Just keep doing what y'all do. And I knew they wouldn't come up big in the second half, and then it was just up to us to execute.
How about Amari Jones, running back kicks? He had 78 yards. He had a 41-yarder as well. How about that guy?
Man, he's a dog. That's all I got to say. He had a – people don't know this, but he had a broken nose the whole second half.
Wow.
And he just went out there. He just went out there, and he kept running hard. You know, I didn't even know until Justin said something after the game. I didn't even know that he broke his nose. You know, he's just a dog, and that's just how we come, our mentality with this team. You know, just come out there. You know, all the game's gonna be 60 minutes. They're gonna be grimy. You got to be able to go out there and just keep executing and fighting, and that's what we did.
You guys didn't even. You gave Auburn a decent game. They only put 24 on you at Auburn, and you guys played D that day. But overall, you beat FIU, Missouri State, and now Houston. You guys are rocking at 3-1. You got to be loving life.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, but we're just going to take it 1 week at a time. You know, we got a bye week this upcoming week. We're going to get everybody healed up, take this time off, you know, start watching film on our next game. We're just going to take it a week by week.
Well, you got Army next at West Point, and they're really tough. They almost beat Michigan, and they've, over the last 3 years, been incredible. That's going to be a really big road test for you guys against Army.
Oh, yeah, you know, this is going to be my first year playing them, but I've watched them on TV, and they do a great job of just playing tough and playing hard. So we're just going to have to come out there, you know, and just prepare that week like it's any other week. You know, watch the film, come to practice, you know, have that mindset that, you know, each week, just keep it 1 week at a time.
So,
one game at a time.
Let me ask you lastly, Jalen McCleskey had 2 touchdowns tonight, including the game winner for Tulane. Tell me about the fake play right before your touchdown where you faked the kneel and then the kid took off running to, down the sideline. That was a great play.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had that in our back pocket. We worked on it. And one thing you gotta love about Coach Hall, he's not scared to call play big plays in big situations. And we trust him with the play calling. He does a great job. It's just great that play worked.
Well, listen, the crowd was really rowdy there tonight. The fans love you guys down there at Tulane Stadium, an old historic stadium that had three Super Bowls there. Hell of a game by you, Jalen. Way to go. Nice winning touchdown catch after the run after the catch was impressive. Good stuff. I'm sure NFL scouts liked it too. Nice job tonight. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Jalen McCleskey had a big night tonight for Tulane in their 38-31 win over the Houston Cougars. He came on the bench afterwards. Most people go to the showers. Of course, others choose to go on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. Just so you know, we're going to L.A. next week, so we'll be in Lipstick City, which is awesome for me, my old stomping grounds. I love L.A. I love L.A. Anyway, going to SoCal, Cal. Going to see our boy Colhan Casey. Going to go see Spence Porter. Carver High is going to Staples for the first time, L.A. for the first time, and I think a fight for the first time. Have you not gone to a fight? Have you gone to a fight?
July, Pacquiao.
Oh, you were at Pacquiao, but you've never gone to a L.A. fight.
Never gone to L.A., period.
All right. So there you go. So which one were you at, Pacquiao Thurman? Is that the one he went to? He said that, remember Arum said the Pacquiao fight with Thurman, that it's going to affect him for the rest of his life, that he took a beating in that fight. I actually thought it was the other way around. I thought he was giving the beating. I thought he was handing out the pain. Bringing the pain, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, we'll do the show from downtown Los Angeles a week from tonight. And next Friday night as well. Thursday and Friday night, I believe the 26th and 27th of September, we'll be live in Los Angeles. And then we'll go to the fight on the 28th, which is Saturday at Staples. Call your cable operator, order the fight on Fox Pay-Per-View, and it's the PBC on Fox. It's going to be a big fight. Welterweight championship, Errol Spence Jr. means business. Believe me, you. And Sean Porter's no joke. Showtime Sean Porter, he brings it too. Should be interesting. So I know Carver High's in full calisthenic mode. He's getting ready. Josh Rosen has been named the starter for the Dolphins in their matchup against the Cowboys that we were talking about. They're heavy dogs. And do you think Josh Rosen can do anything? Because didn't they put him in one of the games and he was equally as horrible as Fitzpatrick throwing picks?
Yeah, he played in week one.
They're just both. I mean, that team's so bad. I don't even – who do you count on? Who do you throw to? Who do you rely on? Who do you trust besides no one? They're so awful. And now they're going to Dallas with this guy running things. They benched Fitzpatrick, and they're going to start Rosen. By the way, they picked up Taco Charlton that nobody else wanted on the scrap heap.
Was that them trying to, hear the reports of the NFL investigating whether or not they're trying to tank it? They said, you know what? Here, look, we picked a guy up. We're trying to win. Trying to get the NFL off their backs?
I guess. The defensive end signed for 2 years and $2.5 million.
That's the first time they picked somebody up instead of getting rid of him in the last 3 months, right?
Yes, that's true. Jimmy in South Florida, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, I talked to you years ago. I think he used to work at 560 or 790.
Right. I was on QAM.
Yeah, QAM, okay. Brother, I got a comment about the Dolphins, okay?
All right.
Comment. I have no trust in Chris Greer. Zero trust that he was handed the keys to the franchise.
Right. They're a mess.
Because of his track record. Because he was there. I think he's been there since 2004, and he's entrusted with all these draft picks and all this cap space. I just wanted to hear your opinion on that, and I would really appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, and then how do you think they'll do in Dallas with Josh Rosen?
They ain't got no offensive line, brother. He's going to get beat up.
Well, I believe it. And that was after they got rid of Tunsil, right? That was just another stupid move. I know that, look, they have a ton of draft picks. I think that job, his job, should be on a chopping block. If they don't succeed in that draft next spring, then he won't be long for this world because they're, you know, they're a mess. I can't even fathom, like, you know, I get it. I understand why Flores took the job, right? Isn't that his name, the guy from the Patriots? I understand why. It's the same thing, the same concept as you're talking about Mattingly. Everybody, there's only so many jobs in the NFL, and there isn't a guy out there that wouldn't want to be a head coach in the NFL, no matter what the team is. I get that type of thinking, but, I mean, he walked into an absolute hornet's nest down there. That is a disaster. I mean, they are flat-out terrible. They're getting humiliated weekly, and they're just these gigantic underdogs in these games. They're laughable. They look like a high school team. And it really is. It's a disaster. It's embarrassing. And I think that from top to bottom, I don't care what you say, it makes him look bad. It makes him look bad, like he can't coach. You know, people are going to see this and going to go, he can't coach. But how do you coach when you have absolutely zero to coach? They have no talent. I mean, they literally, the entire team is gone. And I mean, I guess the guy with the most talent on the team that you would think would be Rosen in his, you know, in his arm, because when he was drafted by Arizona, you're talking about a high draft pick, right? So they thought so highly of him in Arizona, they went after him as a franchise quarterback. And then what? A couple years later, they were done with him. Was it 2 years or one? Did he play 1 year or two?
1 year.
So it's just the most embarrassing thing ever. Now, that guy, you would think, you would deem him the most talented guy on the team. I mean, Fitzpatrick, they just got rid of. Tunsil was probably their best player. They got rid of him. It's so disastrous, the tale of what's going on down there, that you can't even think straight. So if they screw up that draft in the spring, believe me, you, that GM won't last there as far as you can spit. And Flores, you know, I guess, I don't know, he'll survive a year of this atrocity because they just signed him. They just got him. I mean, the guy's brand new. What, are you going to fire him after the first year? Because how do you blame him when you have absolutely no one on the team with any skill? How do you blame the coach that you hired to coach a bunch of amateurs? I mean, it's like it's a practice squad team. That's what they are, aren't they? I mean, they literally, you got people talking about them like college teams could beat them. Here we go again with the pro team would lose to a college team, right? Doesn't that always happen with, like, the worst team in the league? They start doing that, and then the best team in the league after about 8 or 9 weeks ago, are they going to go undefeated? Or, hey, could a college team beat the crappiest team in the league? That's who the Dolphins have become. They become a punchline. It's so unbelievable. The glory they've had in Miami over the years to turn into what they've turned into now is almost laughable.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Make sure you sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody else is just making money with it. Last week, 12-3 in spreads. 23-7 overall, 77%. I hit my top four picks, my rank plays. I hit five of my top six for 83%. Overall, in 2 weeks in the NFL, 78% winners. I hit the Jags tonight to win and the spread. I mean, I really suck. I mean, because I hit so many games and everything. I suck so bad. PharrellOnTheBench.com, all I do is make people fat stacks. Hide the money from your wife. Sign up. You won't regret it. Believe me. So Cam Newton not practicing today, and Kyle Allen time. Carver, how do you remember the other day we were talking to the guy in Charlotte? He said, this guy's done this before. He took on the Saints and was throwing bombs and had a good game. Do you believe at all in Kyle Allen to lead the Panthers, who have looked anemic so far?
Not particularly, but the way that Cam looked the first couple of games, I don't think how it could be much worse, because he was not sharp, just not sharp at all. So who knows? Maybe the kid comes in and gives you a little bit of life.
So Kyle Allen, he's going to his home state, Arizona, and face the team quarterback by Kyler Murray, who he won the starting job over at Texas A&M in 2015 before they both ended up transferring. So they do have a history against one another. Here's Yeadle in Ohio. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Fred?
Hey, Yeadle.
Hey, what's happening? Three quick questions, yeah?
Yeah.
Number one, have you ever seen, just a throw out there, have you ever seen a worse team in the NFL than the Miami Dolphins?
I mean, you know, I tried to compare.
When I'm from Cleveland. So.
Well, I tried to compare them to the Browns when they went 0-for or when they went 1-of-31 or whatever. That was pretty bad. You know, I don't, frankly, I don't think the Dolphins are actually that bad yet. I mean, this is one season and two games into it. We haven't seen how fully engaged they are at being awful. I mean, if they literally lose every single game and go 0-16, then you can start talking about being as bad as the Browns. Because I think, 1-31 in 2 years is the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the Browns didn't get blown out as bad as they're getting blown out. But could be. Second question was, if I'm putting money down on the Packers-Broncos game, Aaron Rodgers hasn't really shown much. I don't know. I wasn't so confident about it. You would put money down on the game, though?
Well, I disagree with you about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they've won every game, and they've been lighting everybody up. They were up 21-0 on the Vikings before they laid down and let the Vikings back in the game. But I actually think that Rodgers has looked good so far. I think their defense has looked better than their offense. But overall, with the way the defense is playing and the way he plays, right now they look very tough. I don't imagine that they would lose that game at home to Denver. I think the Packers are, you would think, I believe that's a money line win for the Packers, no doubt. Now, covering 8, that's a different story altogether. I think that Flacco and the Broncos with, there's literally no chance in the world for anyone giving them one lick of a chance in that game. So that's why I think they'll be in the game. What's your third question?
Yeah, I don't think Flacco's going to put up anything about that. My third question was that back to Ohio. The Browns-Rams, I know you're not such a huge fan of this year's Browns, a lot of overhype, but I'm saying that they look like the team might be pulling something together. You think that they'll have like a chance in this game, like maybe we'll hold it within like a touchdown or something?
Well, I definitely, first of all, I don't dislike them. What I've disliked is, and I've made this very clear, is that I get sick and tired of hearing for 6 months, all I've heard is that they're going to win the Super Bowl and that everyone else sucks and the Browns are the team and everybody's betting on them to win the Super Bowl. And they never sniff the Super Bowl. So I have a hard time absorbing all their incredible predictions and everybody's grandiose description of the franchise. But I do think they have a really good team. I like them. I think they're talented. Some superior players at receiver, and I think Mayfield's a very exciting young quarterback for sure. I like him a lot. Now, Njoku goes down. That hurts him for sure. We'll see how they adapt after that injury. He's going to be out a month, it looks like, with the wrist. But this is a good football team. I think, yes, I think they can win that game. Yes, I think they'll be in the game. Yes, I think that's going to be an awesome game. But I would say, and I'd be willing to bet Carver High and Mafia would agree with me, that the Rams are a better football team than the Browns.
The Rams are absolutely a better football team than the Browns.
And so if the Rams don't go there and handle their business, I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns won the game because they're playing at home.
I mean, yeah, it's a Sunday night road game.
They can win the game.
I heard last week Al Michaels say it's the first time they're doing a Sunday night game in Cleveland in like 10 or 12 years.
Right.
They're going to be up for the game on Sunday night. There's no question about that. But the Rams are the better team. There's just no doubt about
that. Mavia, do you think the Browns will upset the Rams?
No, I don't. I think it'll be a good game, but I don't think that they're the better team. I think the Rams are just better all around. The Browns have a couple great pieces on both sides of the ball, but I think the Rams are just a complete team on both sides of the ball and just so dangerous. I mean, right. You saw that against the Saints. I know Bridgewater was in, so obviously it's going to take it with a grain of salt, but just the way they were always in the backfield every play, just the way their offense was moving the ball, they're just the elite right now.
Yeah, I think they would have, frankly, won the game with even Breeze in there. I think the Rams were going to win that game no matter what. And I bet on them, and I covered both ways. Thank you, ma'am.
And by the way, I just I looked at quickly at that season where the Browns went 0-16 in 2017.
Right.
Their average margin of loss was 11 points. There was one game they lost by like 24, but there was like three games they lost by three, one they lost by four. This Miami team is the worst team we've ever seen, probably.
Maybe. I mean, we still have to see it play out. You cannot tell me that after two games. I just don't believe it until I see it play out. They have to literally, you know, just bend over every week for 16 games. I want to see it because, you know, the other team just flat out did it. So, you know, you can lose by an average of 11, but they lost every game and they sucked. And then they went and did it again. They won one game. They won one game in 2 years. That's the worst team I've ever seen. So let's see if the Dolphins, because the Dolphins have won games. So, you know, I gotta see the whole thing play out for the next 2 years, basically.
I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but I'm just going to give you an example from last year. You know, the Bills in week one lost to the Ravens by 40. In week two, they lost to the Chargers by about 30. And remember what they did in week three?
They beat the –
Everybody's – all the
– That was my favorite bet of the year.
All the experts started saying that the Bills are the worst team in football. They're going to be awful this year. They played Peterman those first couple games. It was disaster.
And they went to Minnesota and won the game.
They went to Minnesota and won the game. Ended up finishing 6-10.
And they were getting 16.
And they won the game outright. So
they killed them.
And I'm not saying the Dolphins are going to go win outright Sunday in Dallas. But I'm just saying, like you said, two games in. There's 14 more games from the play. Before we label them the worst team of all time, maybe they're going to have some juice.
You have to admit, though, that the handling of the franchise right now is so anemic, what they're doing to clean it up. Like, they have literally, you know what they've done? They have put a product out on the field that is not, it should be free to go to the games.
It's been embarrassing.
You should not have to pay money to see that football team play.
Absolutely
not. You should not have to pay for a ticket. They have put a product out there that is amateur hour. They have cleaned that team out of talent. There is no talent on the team. They're not worth paying to see. And believe me, you, that crowd is going to be so sparse before you know it at that Hard Rock. There's not going to be anybody there. No one's going to go to the games. It's too embarrassing to be seen there publicly by anyone. It's too embarrassing. You know, it'll make a bad name for yourself. Did you see this? Della Don got the MVP in the WNBA. They sent me her, who was it? Bob gave it to me, her broken nose mask. She wears this broken nose mask and when she plays. And they sent me one of them. So now, Mafia, the next time you play Chicklets and he breaks your nose with his vicious cutting Russian elbows, you'll be able to use my broken nose you know, Batman mask.
You know what? I think we should just keep it in our bag at all times. You know, not wait till he breaks our nose. Just once we see him step on the court, throw
it
on just as protection. Yeah, just a little extra layer.
Have you ever played with anyone worse than him?
I have not. You know, as far as the elbows and things like that, yeah. And the illegal screens, he constantly says moving screens. Then you tell him to knock it. Oh, no, dude, no, it's not the moving screen. It's like, dude, you literally walk into me with your arms up.
He has no concept of the game or rules. He has no idea at all about what you're talking about. Moving screens. He has 3 seconds, throwing elbows. He has no clue he's even doing it.
I've always guarded him like at arm's length. You know, I've always taken at least a foot and a half away.
I won't even go 5 feet within him.
I don't care if he scores 10 points in a game. I'm just not going to take the elbow to the face on a Saturday for no reason.
I will say this much, though. The guy is an animal defensively. Like, he will absolutely guard you and drive you nuts.
He grabs and clutches and mugs you.
Well, he does. He mugs you, but he will drive you nuts defensively. The guy will drive you nuts.
The guy plays like it's still the 80s. He's on the Bad Boys in Detroit.
So, anyway, it's the semifinals, I guess, of the
Yeah, the two semifinals.
So Connecticut's actually in the semis?
Yeah, and they're up 2-0 now.
I thought Bob did the play-by-play, didn't he, of the Connecticut team?
Well, no, they've changed the WNBA stuff. Well, aren't they playing tonight?
They're playing.
Yeah, well, he's not here tonight.
Oh, he's not?
No.
So is he doing the game?
I think that they've kind of done it more where now all the WNBA games are on some form of TV. Like, I know he did a lot of games on – like either ESPN Plus or what are they, CBS Sports Network.
Right.
Like they've, so I think that it's more a national thing now than local people doing it.
Right. All right. Who are you rooting for there, Carver? Are you rooting for the Vegas? Vegas, or are you going to root for the Connecticut girls?
I don't know.
Should we just root for the girls from Connecticut?
Sure.
Well, all right. We're going to root for them for Bob's
sake. I'd almost rather root for Vegas than Connecticut.
All right, then we'll root for
and
Vegas.
I'm not going to root
the
for
Aces.
Anything involving Bob. They used the way to have he was acting out here
right.
last night. So.
They used to have a Vegas Aces hockey team there. Did you know that?
I did.
Okay, so how was Bob acting in the newsroom the other day?
Well, it was embarrassing last night. He was out here when the Yankees were losing to the Angels, and
they haven't won in 20 years.
Oh, you know, it's just some of the stuff. It's sad that there's a lot of people who
spend their
are
whole
more
life
concerned
about them losing,
about the Yankees and what they're doing than their own teams that they root for.
It's
you gotta be kidding me, dude. Like he was out there rooting like if the Yankees were gonna lose their last 10 games and the Rays were gonna win their last 10 games and they weren't gonna win the division. Whether it be tonight, or let's say they lost tonight, even tomorrow, like they were winning the AL East, dude. Like that's.
But he didn't think
let's
so.
Let's relax.
He didn't
you know,
think
it's
so.
Just and everybody's on the gas, everybody. Meanwhile, they got that guy on the Mets who's gonna hit 50-something homers this year, but he ain't on the juice. You know, he ain't on the gas. But Gio Urshela, he's on the gas.
Everyone is on the.
Everybody's on the gas. But if you go by him and tell him, okay, well, you know, I'm sure they shop at the same stores that roided up polar bear that you got sitting at first base.
And what does he say?
Which
to
I
that?
Don't believe. I think Pete Alonso is having an unbelievable year. But you can't sit there and talk about all the Yankee guys being on the juice when you got a rookie out of nowhere who's hitting 50 home runs, right?
Right.
Can't do it.
I'm with you.
Because now everybody's a suspect in baseball, right? Everybody.
I'd like to see you and him get in a fist fight, actually. I think because his hate of the Yankees, I've had about enough of it. I'd like to see you maybe beat his ass. How do you like them apples? I'd like to see a good fist fight around here. I love fist fights.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.